From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad on a gloriously sunny day, boys and girls, here in the east of Slovakia, underneath the Tatry Mountains, still covered in snow. And it's so hot, I should do topless radio. I've got the window open. So apologies for the birdie noises in the background. It's Postcard from Pop Brad, your alternative look at the news throughout the week. Welcome to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, Audio Boo, Spreaker, RTI, Ustream, oh, and the Mexican Wave as well. Over in the UK, sulking because they had snow the other day. It's Lee Banks.
Hello, everybody. I'll just ignore that insult. May I give RTI... Mm-hmm. An exclusive, though, about British weather. This is the truth. This is the unadulterated truth.
Lee, there could be a cowboy western moment in a minute.
What, are you going to tumbleweed me?
There could be a tumbleweed moment because you said this is an exclusive. If it's not an exclusive, it's going to be a tumbleweed moment.
See how much you know about what's going on in this world then, because you'll know, won't you, whether it's... Right, I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is a report that has just come out, right, in the UK, you know, in the septic isle of Britain, that says that the majority of people in Britain turned their central heating on in September last year and have still not turned it off. That is nearly 10 months of winter we've had. You don't get that in Iceland. Well, you might get it in Iceland in a packet. But... I'm having a tumbleweed moment, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sure why. I thought that was incredibly interesting. But I don't care. I'll talk over a tumbleweed moment with alacrity and style.
Right, OK. Down there, up there in Queensland, it's Rach.
Hello.
Hello.
I've got a full functioning gob.
Uh-oh.
My dental woes are behind me, and I'm open with full force.
Did you tell your dentist to stop? Dental woe, you get it? Dental woe.
No, the checks were bouncing.
Oh, you got them over there. We have Polish dentists over here.
You do. You've got poles in your gob.
but that's a whole
other show.
Exactly.
And
in the cyber green room, waiting, and we'll tell you why in a moment, it's the young lady we mentioned last week. Michelle Martinez is there. She'll be joining us in a moment. She's
yes!
In a...
Sorry.
Yes!
You creeps.
No, I did that. I'm trying to...
You creeps. You creeps.
She's gorgeous. Oh, I've seen her pantaloon.
It's nothing like it, is there? I'm going to remind everybody that under investigation still, apparently Brisbane police are now being told off by Brisbane Airport, and we're awaiting a report from the boss of Brisbane Police now. Her missus. And we're also investigating a man being asked to go home and put his iPad in the box and send it off for repair because the shop was too busy.
That's an interesting one, because we have another one about iPads, about the fact that if you take your iPad abroad, they say that the guarantee isn't valid. What a load of rubbish.
Well, tell them to just talk to the EU about it, because we're going on to the EU a little bit later on. Sad news to start off the programme. Heidi, hi!
Hello!
That didn't work, did it? It used to be... Should we try that again? Ho-dee-ho, you see?
No, you can have a tumbleweed moment as well for a pathetic sentence of humour to do with somebody who's just died.
The young Paul Shane has died aged 72. He was the actor in Heidi-Hi, which was one of the sitcoms
Ho-dee-ho.
From the BBC.
Ho-dee-ho!
Thank you. In the 1980s, I think it was, for the sitcom. Yeah, he was 1980s. He's done so many other things as well. So many people said, you know, really nice things about him. Ricky Gervais said, old school Britcom hero. Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
That's right. He actually is probably amongst the last of the lost era of British variety, which the humour in this show, which is full of tumbleweed moments, is basically based on. These are the heroes.
Yes.
British comedy, and these are sadly they're fading.
Yeah, indeed. And before we join Michelle in a moment, we've got to pay tribute to some amazing guys who 70 years ago this week helped towards stopping that I nearly said a naughty word. That person called Hitler by bombing some dams in the industrial areas that Germany was using at the time. A great innovation. Before we tell you the full story, just listen to these Spitfires, followed by a Lancaster on two runs coming in, and the modern-day tornadoes. What do you reckon to that, boys and girls?
That was fantastic.
I love those
engines.
I've never
heard anything like it. I feel like I've never heard that before ever.
It's just, I don't know, if you hear those Rolls-Royce engines, there is something special about them. And I think didn't they fly over by you, Lee?
Well, that's what I was just going to say, yeah, because I live near Alrawas, which is a very strange name for a place, but it is near Stoke-on-Trent, so they do tend to have bizarre names. And this Lancaster flew over the village of the Damned, where I live, on its way to Derbyshire, and flew over Alrawas. And I must say that, you see, we're surrounded. We've got RAF Cosford and various other Stafford, lots of whatever they're called, RAF camps.
Right.
And it is quite moving. I stood in the garden and watched this thing, and it's so evocative of the way things were back in the, you know, the 40s and the war years, that it is quite moving and quite dramatic. A lot of people around here, the villagers in the village of the Dam, say they remember the war extremely well, and I think that's because it's the last interesting thing that happened around here.
Indeed so. And the crews that were in those aircraft at the time were made up from the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and one from America as well. And they had to practice dropping these bombs. They were untested at the time from over 60 feet.
That's a great idea.
Gee whiz. Talk about, you know, being at the valour that these guys had. And then the job was to drop them into the Ruhr Valley, which was to knock out the Nazi Germany industrial war machine, which they did successfully. They were amazing. And I love one of the other things where old tech meets new tech, because throughout the day, the RAF were tweeting Morse code signals using Twitter. What a great thing. Da-di-da-dit, da-da-di-da, da-di-da-dit, da-da-di-da. I can still do it. That was CQ for anybody. That's a call. It was just amazing. Wing Commander David Atherton said, the dam's raid epitomised ingenuity, immense bravery, superb flying skills, and the will to overcome adversity. What an amazing group of people. Thank you, guys. Wherever you are, upstairs or still living, we thank you immensely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Couldn't support that more. This interesting fact for another tumbleweed moment is that back in 1904, when...
You're beastly.
Excuse me, dear. You squeaked.
You did.
No, you did.
You did. You went, eek.
Yeah.
You had an eek moment.
I'll just say very quickly. In 1904, there was a moratorium in Europe which banned the dropping of bombs from dirigibles. And that was actually put in place by all the warlords of Europe to avoid the mass destruction of property and, amazingly, of people too. And it was really the dam busters who broke through that moratorium and introduced the modern-day warfare. Not sure.
Well, I think they also hurried and enabled modern-day worlds, which we're now enjoying and playing part of, where there's me in Slovakia, Lee in the UK, Michelle and... Rachel. Thank you. That's the word I was looking to find. Down in Australia. And if it wasn't for these really brave guys, we wouldn't be sitting here talking the way we are today and having a lot of fun. So thank you again, guys.
That's right. Absolutely.
Now, with modern technology also comes modern failure.
Ooh.
It is modern failure. And also, Lee's not going to like this.
I am.
You're not.
I am.
Sometimes the press don't report on these failures.
Don't you start.
I told you.
He's off.
He's off like a rocket. He had light blue touch paper and away he goes.
I don't have a blue touch paper. I have nothing blue that anybody can touch.
It's Red Lee from the Red Top newspaper. The fact is that for some bizarre reason, there's this story about a young lady that we mentioned last week and how... she got chucked out of a, I'm struggling to say this, talent competition.
I know what you're talking about.
You do. And on or in the cyber green room, joining us this week, it's Michelle Martinez. Hello.
Well, hello.
Oh, my God. Every young man in the world has just fainted.
They have, including me. I'm no longer here. What's your name? Michelle.
Shut up, Lee. Michelle, can you just say hello, RTI listeners?
Hello, RTI listeners.
Good Lord, I'm going to turn for that.
I'll say hello, Lee.
Are we all getting voiceovers?
Hello,
here?
Lee.
Thank you. Can you now say... get lost, Eric. Reach the crowd.
I can't do that. I'm really sorry.
Get lost, Eric.
Lee and I, this is going to be another moment for the radio magazine this week where Eric and Lee shut up.
Yeah.
Because Rachel was watching this. Yeah. And being the good investigative journalist that she is, she's going to talk to Michelle to find out what really happened on The Voice in Australia, where they had a Z-list celebrity called Seal. And in Europe, he is a Z-list celebrity. Poor old Seal. I can't even remember one of his songs now. He's that important.
I've got him around my windows, you know, since I've had a put in.
Probably the only point. And then we'll interject every now and again. But, Rach, I want to find out what all the fuss is down in Oz about poor Michelle.
The fuss is that, all right, look, you know what? I'm never backward about coming forward. The fact is that she was robbed. Robbed blind. Blind.
Mm-hmm.
It was a travesty. There was an uproar.
No.
I turned the television off. I never turn the television off. It's my window.
Window on the world.
That's right. And I threw things at it. Not anything, you know, that would damage it because Rob would kill me.
Yeah.
But I threw things at it. She was summarily chucked off this program after kicking its bum so hard, its nose bled.
Right.
And I was furious. Yes, Lee.
Can I just interrupt for a sec?
Go on, then.
I thought I'd do it now before the flow of the story starts up. But he said that we were both going to shut up, and I've been really quiet, and he keeps making noises.
I'm agreeing.
I'm going to agree as well, then.
All right. Right.
I'm trying to get to the point where we actually get to hear from the lady herself.
Well, no, before you do that, Rach, I think what we should do now is play a short extract. What are we playing, Michelle?
Yeah.
We're playing her track.
You're playing my track?
Yeah. Which one?
Oh, I think I was going to play You Got Me, which is a single from my EP.
From the EP.
By the Trogs.
Shut up. You've got me. Sit back, boys and girls. Couple of minutes of the quality of the young Michelle.
I can tell you think you fly. The girls, they think the shade. I don't want to lie. No, there's just no way I can. I can tell you think you're fly. You know I think the same. Honey, I will give you all my love and all my affection. If you could tell the brother what's my name? I can tell you think you're cute. Or so you claim. Been loved by a few.
Okay, what do you think to that then?
I thought that was really good, actually, and I don't suppose it was sealed with a kiss at the end of the show. Was it?
Sealed with a kiss from a rose.
Yeah.
Oh. It's getting worse.
Right,
getting worse.
Okay, Rach, off you go.
Okay, in the war versus seal versus polar bear, I'm with the polar bear, and this is why, Michelle. First of all, to get on this show, you have to be any good to begin with, and that's fine, and that's a good way to do it, so we don't have to sit through weeks and weeks of people getting up on stage and yodeling and so forth, and, you know, summarily then being sick. So that's the idea. And then, of course, you know, the premise is that contestant walks onto stage, coaches, not judges, coaches, aren't facing them, so they can only hear the voice of the person, and if they would like that person to be on their team, they press button, chair spins around, and then if more than one said contestant gets to select their coach. Now, Michelle went up and beat the utter out of Lady Marmalade, and three chairs spun around for her, one of which was Seal. He pitched to her like he was selling her a used car. In a really, well, he did. He went on and on. And she said, "You didn't you, Michelle? You're a really good salesman."
I did. That I said. I can corroborate your story.
Yes. And then she went on Team Seal. Now, the next thing that happens is they go into a battle round. So it's Michelle versus another girl called Simone Stacey, who's also very good, by the way. And they sang, they had a sing-off, and Michelle won that. And she went on to the next round. And then she sang another song, and then it went to the public vote. And blah, 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 blah. So top vote of this other little kid who's also very good with, you know, teary backstory, gets put through by the public. Somebody who gets the lowest then leaves automatically. And then Michelle and this other guy called Alex go into a sing for your life situation. Mm-hmm. And then Seal makes decision as to who he's going to choose. Now,
can I just ask, what was little boy like? Was he a Bieber lookalike?
Oh, no.
No?
Alex is, he's a, what is he, Michelle? He's a, is he a folky guy?
Yeah, he's folky. His official tagline is he's a busker from Canberra. That's what will be written under his photo every time you see it.
Oh,
the busker from Canberra.
Right.
And he looks like a Bieber.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't look like a beaver, as such. Anyway, he sang his Paul Simon song. Michelle did her original audition song, Lady Marmalade, again and again, kicked it. And the other coaches get to comment on who they would choose. Should it be up to them? They all chose Michelle. Seal said that this fellow had less confidence and required his help more. And then he said, and I still, I'm still gagging on it. And every time I say it, a little bit of sick goes in my mouth. He said, she got what she came for.
Huh?
She's no longer a backing. She's no longer a backing singer. She's a star. She got what she came for. Bye bye. You don't need this competition anymore. And I just
isn't that a bit of a contradiction in terms?
Yes. Okay.
Wasn't he just saying that you'd got the exposure you wanted?
Or was he saying she was a better singer than he was a coach?
I think I think the problem you had was that you were up against a seal and a beaver. Should have gone wet look.
Oh, my words. So what happened after this then?
I don't know what happened.
Michelle, okay. Let's bring Michelle. Michelle, what happened after this horrendous situation where idiot Seal, I said it, not you, where idiot Seal dumps you off the program? The Aussie public then voted with their computers, I hear.
Yeah, it was actually kind of cool. I mean, I didn't quite know what to do other than just sort of send out a tweet to my few followers saying, you know, tonight didn't quite go as I'd planned, but if there's something that, you know, you could do for me, it would be to buy my EP. Mm. And here it is. And they did, and it actually went to number one album on the Soul and R&B iTunes chart in Australia.
Like, yo! Rock on!
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Within a couple of hours. It was ridiculous. Jeez. It was like huge.
In a couple of hours?
Uh-huh. Yeah. What,
so number one in a couple of hours?
Yeah, number one on the album chart, the Soul R&B album chart.
That is amazing.
Brilliant. Well, congratulations, Michelle.
And say thank you to Seal. Oh, really?
I thought it was a very much a no moment.
Well,
you could do it politely.
Well, the other thing I'm going to... You know what I'm going to say now, Rach, don't you?
Go on.
Yes.
The fact is that most of these shows, especially the ones in Oz, I don't understand why they have has-beens on as judges, for one. Number two, most of the talent that goes through are here today, gone tomorrow. Therefore, I'm going to suggest that what this has proven is proper talent like Michelle, because we've just heard that, and that was amazing. Real talent is actually too good for these shows.
I think that's a really good point, because they do have nothing but has-beens on, don't they? Mm. Or young people who've really not grown in to their art properly.
Mm.
And it is a bit sad that something like this should happen. But okay. I think the benefit is phenomenal.
Yeah, exactly. So you went to number one on the R&B chart in iTunes, Michelle, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. What else has happened? Surely the newspapers have picked this up.
There's some bits and pieces, but, I mean, from the show, they like to try and keep the emphasis on the people that are still in the competition. So there's definitely stuff that comes up. There's a lot of stuff that's come up on sort of social media. So every time there's a photo of me or anything to do with that on the Voice website, there's just a whole heap of comments under that, and I've got a whole heap of comments, and my family's got the same. And yeah, so it seems to be more of a social groundswell than anything else.
Yeah, but you went to number one on the chart after getting chucked out of the show. Surely a newspaper would have run that. Lee, if that was in the UK, would a paper have run it?
I think what Michelle's just said is really the truth of the situation. The popularist press, which I am a great exponent of, would actually focus on the people who remained in the show and not particularly look at somebody who had left. And
she's gone to number one.
And no, it's not the kind of story that they would pick up out of that.
You're all wimps.
No, it's the simple fact. I personally would actually have done what we've done, which is do a special on this person who got kicked out by Seal.
Right.
And the fact that, but there's actually no major sort of controversy there, because that was his decision and he was perfectly at liberty to make that decision. Rightly or wrongly, that's what he did. So there isn't a major news story there. What there is that Michelle is brilliant and we are proving it.
Exactly. Michelle, how did you feel when you were thrown out?
Um, It was really confusing. I mean, I was kind of surprised at the time because, you know, I think everyone kind of hits that moment in their own kind of careers and what they do where you just feel like you did well. Like I felt like the stars aligned and I was like, yeah, no, I think I'm finally growing into this. I think I had that and I was happy with how I went. So it was difficult to hear that, you know, sorry, you're not going through. And it was sort of difficult the way that it was explained. It was kind of strange. But I just kind of got to a point where I thought all I can really do is go forward and try and push my original music and really try and be the kind of artist that I want to be, sort of irrespective of, you know, of what other people want for me. And so, I mean, it could turn out to be kind of a gift. It could turn out to give me a little bit more freedom when it comes to making my own artistic choices. So I'm just doing what I can with what I've got at this point.
At least, won't become part of a, you know, machinery that is genuinely there just to make a few percentage points for everybody involved, and you do all the hard work and they get the money for it. And I think you're quite right there, because a lot of these artists clearly do not do what they are pushed into doing. And I mean, let's take Robbie Williams as a perfect example. He was pushed into a road, he took it, but then what did he do in the Albert Hall in London? You know, he brought all the songs back from the Rat Pack, which was his passion.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I think you've got the same opportunity.
Well. Can I just ask Michelle a quick tabloid question?
Go on.
How did it feel, Michelle, to face that kind of rejection in front of millions and millions of people?
It's difficult because you've got to smile and you've got to look really happy and you've got to be humble and you can't let it look like it's gotten to you. But obviously it's a little bit difficult in the moment. And you know that when you get out of the way of the cameras and in front of, you know, millions of people, that you're probably going to go into a lot of interviews. So you've actually got to be ready to just smile and be really, really positive about it straight off the bat. And
Did it really hurt you?
Yeah, it was difficult because, I mean, I've been doing this for a while and I think the Australian music climate is kind of, it's interesting. There's lots of people at a lot of labels that would love to help a lot of artists, but it's really, really difficult without the backing of a television network in this country at the moment, and I'm hoping that at some point that will change. But even if you're very well connected in the music industry, and we saw it with the amount of people that already have very established careers that decided to come and do this show anyway, that there aren't a great number of options for us at the moment. And so it was difficult because I thought, oh, you know, I was really hoping this was going to be a shot to help me do what it is that I want to do. But, you know, you've just kind of got to roll with the punches and sort of see how you go. But I knew as soon as I got off that, you know, first stage that I was just going to go into more interviews and, you know, and have to be as upbeat as possible. So it's difficult, but, you know, I guess that's where the media training over a few years comes into it.
Exactly. Now, Michelle, you've got a big job to do for me now.
What's that?
You've got to say to everybody, we'll be back after this short commercial break in a second, all right?
Okay.
Because we're right at the end of part one of Postcard from Pop Brad for this week. We'll be back with part two. I'm going to ask Michelle to stay with us. Michelle, over to you.
We'll be back after this short commercial break.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI